is Johnny Wrestling or Johnny Takeover, as my shirt says. And listen, I want you to listen. Like, we're at a ball right now. It's crazy. It's loud. It's hectic. We're in New York City. But I want you to listen to No Holds Barred Network.
Enough is enough.
Hey guys, welcome back to the No Holds Barred Network with another episode of Under the Ropes. I'm your host, as always, the EVP of Giggles, the Heartbreak Chick, the Queen of the Indies, Tiffany. And unfortunately, my co-host, Ray, is not going to be here tonight, but that's okay. I have plenty of questions that he had sent me, but we are with the Wizard King himself, Orin Wright. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I'm so excited about this interview. I love it. So guys, if you have not seen an Under the Ropes episodes, we interview anything with independent wrestling, wrestlers, promoters, anybody important in the backstage so that we can get you to know everything and everything about the new and upcoming and out there that's been there for a while. So I'm really excited about this because you're kind of new to me as well. So I'm really excited to ask a bunch of questions for you. You guys are in the chat, if you want to chime on in, thank you. Like, chime in and we'll ask some questions. So, all right. So you're ready to do this?
Heck yeah.
All right. Let's do this. So for people that may not know a little bit about you, how did you get into professional wrestling?
Got into it as a little kid. Neighbor showed it to me on TV, and I was convinced that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. Didn't do anything about it until I was about 20, and then I decided to get into training, found a school in the area here in Minnesota, and kind of got into it and got rocking and rolling here locally, and kind of slowly started to branch out from there. It was something that the second I saw, I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. No questions asked. This is 100% it.
Oh, what was the first thing that like you saw that kind of made you like?
So the first thing that I saw that made me be like, this is like 1000%, like this is the style I want to do, was Born to Be Wired. I saw that no rope barbed wire match, and I'm like, wow, this is like next level intense, like next level of like wrestling. I want to do that. I want to do this. And I was hooked. Like I was convinced that was what I was going to do.
That's awesome. I love it. It's always something that, triggers the love for wrestling. I love it.
Oh yeah.
And it's always interesting stories to hear from everybody what caught them. So, okay. So actually I'm like really curious because Ray sent in this question. He was like, let's talk the character evolution. How do we get from the Dark Prophet to the Wizard King?
So coming into wrestling, I was like, oh, well, I got to have a character. I got to have something different. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the dark spooky guy. I'm going to be the Dark Prophet. That's what I'm going to go with. And, you know, because I'm not a religious guy. I'm, you know, not a satanic guy, but I have my own beliefs that are built on, you know, my experiences and the way I've lived my life. So I figured, oh, I could run that. And at the time when I was doing that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of that, or at least definitely not in my area, and still not in my area, but like there wasn't a lot of that. So I decided that's what I was going to be, and that's, you know, the character I was going to try to portray. But kind of as things went on, and as you know, I gained more notoriety and got more bookings, a lot more places, I was like, man, there's a lot of dudes that do this character a lot better than me, and it's not really who I am. So I found that, just, you know, I'm a guy that loves anime and loves nerd stuff, and You know, I'm just a fun, laid back dude. I'm not dark, spooky guy. Like anybody that knows me knows I'm super, super laid back and fun. So I decided that like it was time to rebrand. It was time to completely change the gimmick and who I was, like even to getting new gear now to the point where, you know, there's no more pentagrams, there's no more anything like that. You know, it's all anime and, you know, nerd culture related. And it's been way more comfortable. I feel like I don't have to be somebody I'm not or focus on, you know, a character that I'm not. And it's been great. I've felt so much more relaxed in the ring and, you know, like I can just be me. And it was met with a lot of, you know, people saying like, oh, that's a big rebrand, but realistically it wasn't.
Right.
Not for me at the time. I was like, well, better to do it now than in, you know, 2 to 3 years.
I like it. That's great. That's great. Okay, so let's move on. Actually, so this question I like to ask people that maybe not know you. So like for someone who hasn't watched anything of you, what match would you personally recommend for them to watch?
Gosh. Well,
I could do a couple, like if that's better for you.
There is a couple. There's the matches that I had with G Raver and Eric Ryan last year for GCW at 400 Degrees and The Last Ones Left. Those two matches are great, great matches that I'm really proud of and I think still hold up and really kind of cemented me as, you know, able to hang with the big boys.
Right.
So those matches, I still have people bringing up randomly on Twitter or social media, like, you know, at least maybe once every other week, people mm-hmm. will bring it up and talk about it and be like, oh man, I'm just now seeing this.
Right.
And the other ones would just be anything I've done with John Wayne Murdoch this year. Whether it's Insane Eight for ICW Milwaukee or No Holds Barred Volume 6, I think.
Yes. I think that was the one. Yes. It's funny. Yeah. We've had him on the podcast.
Any one of those four.
He's great. I think that's like where I first found you was ICW. I'm a big ICW fan. I've been a fan for a while. So I love the fact that Danny DeMonto has been bringing in a lot of West Coast, I want to say, people that I didn't know about before. So I feel like even people that have got signed over to bigger platforms, like that, I kind of first found them in ICW, so it's great.
Yeah, he's done an awesome job of mixing it up and, you know, giving people a platform to showcase their abilities and whether or not they can hang. Some can't and some can, and it's been awesome that, you know, he's given that constant, you know, you have your core roster, which you need,
right?
But he gives guys opportunities to show like, oh, they belong, and you know they'll be here for more shows to come.
Right, definitely, and it is a different like atmosphere. I feel like up again. Oh, yeah. I go to a lot. I mean, I have the nickname Queen of the Indies, and I support a lot of promotions from like all over the place. And of course, we're living in New York. I mean, with everything with the pandemic, but I was doing it before too. I go to Jersey a lot, so I was at the last show, so I did see you and your crazy spot. with the flames and the barbed wire and the tables. It was really crazy. Oh. You guys are nuts. But I adore it and I love all the light tubes, but that's me. Like, I know it's an acquired taste, I think, for some people.
It is. So, it is.
Because I was even afraid in the beginning as well too with death matches, and I think for a while like I refused to watch like GCW, and then eventually they're like, Tiff, it's not just death matches, they have other matches too. So I think that was kind of like an easing for me, I feel like, into death matches. So now I can like watch death matches, but I'm not gonna lie, I do look away with certain things. It's a lot. but oh man, I love it. Okay, so Ray's next question is, what does stepping into the ring mean for you?
Ooh, it's a chance to continue to build a legacy. I step in there and, you know, somebody's going to watch and be like, that guy is, you know, that guy's my favorite wrestler. That guy is, you know, that guy's amazing. That guy can do incredible things that, you know, I never imagined people could do. It's something I take with great pride. It's something that I, you know, I want to have every time I step in there. I want people to know that I didn't take a day off. I didn't, you know, I didn't mail it in. I didn't phone it in, no matter, you know, how few people there or how many people are there. I did what I could do to, you know, make them happy. But yeah, every time I step through, it's living that dream that I didn't know that I could. You know, when you're younger and everybody's telling you that's a stupid thing, like, get over it now, then you're able to do it. And you're able to do it at a high level. To me, it's something I take with great pride and great honor every time I'm able to step in between the chains or the ropes or the no rings, whatever it may be, and just be able to be a fully versatile, you know, member of this business and give to it what I think it's owed.
That's great. That's great. Oh my goodness. Like, it's funny because I've had Alex Colon on the podcast too. So it's like, you're saying all this stuff and I'm like thinking about things that he also said as well. And I mean, like, I appreciate you guys. And it's so, you're so nice. And like, I always say that like, people are so scared of like deathmatch wrestlers that I'm like, they're like some of the nicest people that I've had conversations.
Yeah, we're the most laid back, like, easygoing guys there are.
it's really true. So it's funny because like our next fan tweets from our friend Jewel at the last ICW show was funny because I was walking around with her and she was wearing a Murdoch shirt and I asked her if she met him and she's like no. So I was like, come on. And I was like, because I just had him on the podcast before, like the ICW, and I dragged her. She goes, no. And I was like, come. I was like, so I know, Jewel, if you're not watching this now and you're gonna watch the playback, like, you're gonna like probably yell at me that I did this, but if you haven't met Orin, I'm gonna drag you to like to him because I throw everybody under the bus. Oh, but you guys are great. So she's got two questions. Her first question is, what kind of snack do you like when you go on the road?
Ooh, see, that is a good question. The like, my go-to drink would always be root beer. That is that's my go-to. And I guess like food is probably popcorn.
Ooh.
I think that's, you get a lot of mileage out of that. So I think that's the go-to.
I love popcorn, but then it gets like stuck after a while. And it's annoying.
It does. But it's one of those things that it's not super expensive.
Yes.
You can buy a lot of it for a little bit of money. It's pretty optimal.
Do you like the plain, or are you like, you know, salt butter, or maybe like a kettle corn or something, or
little bit of butter sometimes, a little bit of salt, you know, nothing. Sometimes I'll go like cheddar popcorn, but then I regret it after I, you know, grab two handfuls.
Or you get like the three tier, like now that Christmas is coming, like the three tier popcorn.
Then you've got caramel corn and you've got cheddar, and then you've got normal, and it's all mixed together. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so her second question is, where did the Wizard King name come from?
It came from an anime called Black Clover, where that's their whole mission is, you know, they're trying to become the new Wizard King. And I binge watched it on the way down to a VOW show. And I was like, yep, that's it. That's the one. I think I'm gonna use that and run with it. Because at the time, it wasn't a very mainstream one. Now it's more mainstream, and it has a lot more notoriety than it did at the time. But yeah, that's where I got it from. I was like, yep, I'm gonna run with that. Because I couldn't think of anything else. It's like, yeah, and I think this is it.
It matches your gear, too. So, like, that's what I, like, instant think, like, kind of like the long coat jacket, like, cape, if you want to call it. So, definitely. We got some questions in the chat. So John Perry says, who inspired you to wrestle?
I think initially it would be Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle would be the first like original people that I saw. And I was like, those guys are great. These guys are amazing. So those were like my original kind of inspirations as a kid.
That's good. Michael came in the chat. He goes, I thought that was Christian Cage.
Man, Christian Christian is also very high up on the list. When I was training, my trainer was like, hey guys, like, what's the ideal body you want to have? And of course everybody was like, oh, I want to look like Batista, or I want to look like this. And I'm like, I want to look like Christian. And apparently that wasn't a good enough answer, and I had to give him a better answer. He wasn't happy with that.
Okay. wow, you guys are just shooting questions out. Okay, so Michael also asks, would you want to be NXT, Impact, or AEW?
Oh, I guess anywhere that's going to give me money.
Simple question. And John says, he said, if I want to be a wrestler, who do I contact?
Oh, you got to find a school. Yeah. You got to do the Google research and find a school. There's so many out there now, and there's so many reputable schools now. When I started, it was a little bit tougher, but especially it coming from the Midwest. But now, you know, every area has like their main school. So it's very accessible now, more so than I think it ever has been.
Yeah. A lot of places also, John, that if you go to a lot of shows, a lot of the shows actually have schools. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them. Like,
a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good way to... And it's funny because, Mike, this kind of works perfectly for my next question that I wanted to talk to you about. So let's talk a little bit about H2O. So I got to see you. I mean, I watched it at home. I wanted to go to the show, but I couldn't get a chance to get out there. And plus, it was sold out. But so it was Matt Tremont's last extravaganza. So you worked with Alex Colon, Brandon Kirk, and Tim Dunst this weekend. So this was a great match. I absolutely adored it. I love all you guys. But can you talk a little bit about the tournament and, you know, Matt Tremont's retirement?
Man, so the tournament itself was huge. And I think it was done so well in a time that it's so hard to do something like that. And for the right reasons, for the right guy and Danny Havoc, who impacted everybody in that tournament. Their lives and careers were genuinely impacted by that man in a huge way.
Right.
So all 17 of those men had a reason to be there. I was a part of the first extravaganza and was fortunate enough to be a part of all the extravaganzas. The first extravaganza was what gave me really a break, like a big, big break in wrestling. And to be a part of that tournament with all of those guys was super special to me. And to see, you know, to see how it unfolded and to see a guy like Bam Sullivan be able to get his, you know, get his moment and be the inaugural, you know, Danny Havoc hardcore champion is huge. You know, he's a guy who's been busting his ass for H2O ever since Matt said, come over here and be with us. And he's amazing. He's a guy that I have said and asked Matt many times, like, I want to work with this kid. He's good. He gets it. He wants it. You can tell. And I think it was a huge moment for him, and you could tell how much it meant to him and how much it meant to all of us. You know, I think there wasn't a single dry eye any of those nights, whether it was Matt hanging it up or the tribute to Grant at the end. All of us were crying. None of us could keep it together because we really are a family. And I think, especially deathmatch wrestlers, we have a special level of family to each other that, you know, when one of us is in a bad place or, you know, somebody's down and out, we come in droves to help them. And to see a guy like Matt Tremont hanging up was, I'm glad I was there. And because that's a guy who I've shared the ring with or a no ring with, you know, on a couple occasions. And man, he is the most unselfish, best person that you could possibly be in wrestling. There is no better model of person that you would hope a professional wrestler would be. Wants to give everything back that he was given, wants to leave it a better place than he found it, wants to just truly be a good person in wrestling, which you don't see a lot.
Right.
Unfortunately, whether it's, you know, somebody just being carny or somebody, you know, just trying to work everybody else, he wants to be a good person and be nice. And just, I don't think anybody has a bad thing to say about Matt Tremont.
No.
And like watching his career end in front of me was something that gave me so much motivation to be like, when I hang it up, I want to have half the career this guy had, half the legacy this guy had, and, you know, have that ability to have everybody say only good things and be like, this guy did right by me. He helped the next generation. He built everybody up. And Matt did that. Matt was so, so good to everybody. And I'm so happy that H2O is being so successful and has become as successful as it's becoming and had all the eyes on it that it did this weekend. Because not only was it a tribute for, you know, Grant and a goodbye to Matt, but it was a showcase of what H2O brings. And, you know, because he had his students, he had his one student who Iron Man ref'd almost the whole time, except a couple instances on night one. And, you know, he's really producing incredible people and good humans, not just good wrestlers. They all have these great wrestling abilities, but he's producing good human beings. And I think that's more important than anything else that you could do it with a wrestling school. And I think that was really showcased this weekend too.
It was such a great show. And I've talked to Matt on the network too. If you guys haven't watched the interview with Matt Tremont, he's amazing. He talked about H2O a lot. He talked about his students and you truly see it. And me and I will say this, I'm a fan before anything. And you kind of can start seeing in the students who really trained them. And his students, even then, a lot of them are very young. And he told the story that he has one autistic student. And that just like melted my heart the entire episode that I did with him. And I was like, wow. So hopefully one of these days I can get down to H2O. And if you guys haven't watched H2O, like it is on the IWTV app. So yes, you can definitely check it out there. So I highly, highly recommend that you guys check that out.
Yeah. And I mean, to like talk about the match I had in the tournament, I think that was, we were the match of hybrid guys of, you know, like real, like that real hybrid style. And I think we had a really good death match and none of us ended up bleeding. I think we showed that, like, you know, we can do all of these things and we can do it in a lot of different ways. Right. And that because of guys like, you know, Danny Havoc and guys like Matt Tremont, this style has truly evolved in the last however many years now. And it's really become something that you're not just, you know, you're not just seeing, you know, hack and slash guys. You're seeing everything and everybody, and it's becoming more storytelling and more, you know, more true wrestling than I think people give it credit for a lot of times.
Yeah. And I always tell people, give everything at least, you know, a chance, because you don't really mm-hmm. know what you may like, what you might not like. So I'm always very open-minded to any kind of wrestling, because you never know what's out there, and you never know. You might find something you like. So speaking of death matches, April asked in the chat, she said, what's your least favorite weapon to get hit by?
Anything. Well, I don't like to get hit by steel chairs. I avoid those at all costs. Steel chairs and kendo sticks. Also anything that's like wooden, no toothpicks, no skewers, nothing like that.
That's
a no go for me.
I can't with skewers. Nope. The first time I saw it, I ran out of the promotion. I wasn't ready for it.
That's a no go.
Okay. So Ray's next question is, if you could choose anyone to face again in a heartbeat, who would it be?
Oh God. I've been fortunate enough to wrestle a lot of good wrestlers, and a lot of guys that I've always wanted to share the ring with. I would say G River or Eric Ryan. I'd wrestle them any day of the week, every day of the week. Those are guys that I've only wrestled once in singles. Like Alex Colon, I've wrestled a few times, and, you know, guys like that. But that's somebody that, G Raver and Eric Ryan, I'd wrestle any day of the week.
Awesome. Well, I hope we get to see that again. So, okay. So we got some more fan tweets from our friend Metal. He says he's got two. He said, one, who is your biggest influence to get into wrestling? Which I think you answered, but
yep.
So so we're good. So I want to make sure that I put it out there so you guys know that I actually do ask the questions. So two, what are otters? Why are otters the best animal ever?
How are they not? Have you heard their voices? Have you seen the way they act? They're adorable. They're the cutest things in the world. In Japan, they have them a lot more accessible than they do over in the States. And we went to one, what we were expecting to just be like an owl cafe, and they had a little otter containment. And I think I spent a solid like hour and a half there just holding their hands and playing with them, feeding them a gazillion treats. Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, they're the cutest animals ever.
We have a couple of friends that they always like post like otters. So it was funny because when I was talking to him on the side the other day, he was like, he loves otters. He's like, I'm going to ask the question. Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay. I was like, oh, yeah. Whatever.
How could you not?
Yeah. They're so cute. They are cute. That's so awesome. I love it. Okay. So how would you say your preparation of having a normal match compared to having a death match?
Normal match is a lot of like, okay, we got to go out there and, you know, maybe change some stuff up depending on the how the crowd's reacting and how everything goes. And a lot of times, you know, if I'm having a normal match, I'm having it with somebody who's a super flippy spot guy, so I have to remember a lot. But a death match, I always make the joke. I don't know if anybody has seen Dewey Cox, like Walk Hard.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
Hard the Dewey Cox story. I always make the joke that Dewey Cox needs to think about his whole life before he plays. That's how I feel before you go out to a death match, because anything can happen.
Right.
You could have the simplest of weapons and simplest of stipulations, but you go out there and get a cut and almost die.
Yeah.
You really have to kind of zone in and focus. The nerves don't go away. They will never go away. When I do a normal match, nerves aren't typically there. I know that I know what I'm doing, and I know that I know, no matter what happens, I can figure it out. But out there, it's a totally different animal. And I asked John Wayne Murdoch in the very first Insane 8 that I did, when I was brand new to death matches, I asked John, I'm like, hey, do these nerves, like, does this, like feeling in your gut, like, has it gone away for you? Because John's been doing it forever.
Right.
You know, death matches. And John's like, nope. He said, the second they do, I know it's time to hang it up. And that when that happens, the risk for something going wrong is through the roof, because, you don't have that extra care and concern that you would. It's a totally different level of preparation, a totally different level of like getting your head right. And it's never right until you go out there. For me, I always tell new guys that are getting into death matches this too, like those worries and that gut feeling and that stress will kind of go away the second you get hit with that first light tube or that first big, big thing. And then things kind of mellow out and you know, all right, I've done this. I know what I'm doing. And let's do it.
Wow. You guys, I give you guys so much credit. Like, I don't know how you guys do it. So is it like the thrill? Is that like what it is? Like, what is it that just suckers you really into the whole death match?
It's better than any drug you'll ever do. it is like, it's because it is, it's life or death. It's, you go out and wrestle and you're, okay, hopefully this is a good match, but you go out and do a death match, you're like, well, hopefully we survive to fight another day, and hopefully, that something awful and, traumatic doesn't happen.
Right.
It's a totally different feeling. And for me, it's kind of a release and an escape in a way. And you know, that adrenaline and that feeling of having those fans, you know, be loud and crazy the whole time. Cause deathmatch fans are incredible fans. They're so good. And they give you everything, as opposed to normal fans. Typically in my experience, that you have to try and try and try to get them to, you know, get off their phones. Deathmatch fans, if they're on their phones, it's because they're recording it. Cause they want to watch it again as soon as they can. So I think it's a lot of things, but it's definitely that adrenaline and that, like, this is the coolest thing ever.
It is. And I love turning all you guys into GIFs when I get, like, the footage on my phone of you guys. So, like, sometimes I get lucky, sometimes I don't. I think I have the spot even with you with the – I see that crazy freaking jumping off into the flaming fires. And I was like, oh, my God. Like – okay, let's move on. So Ray's question is, would you classify yourself as a deathmatch wrestler?
Yeah, I catch flack for that, especially from guys like Eric Cannon and stuff, who around here kind of, you know, they're purists. But he, you know, he's one of those guys that's like, oh, you're a professional wrestler. And I am. Like, I'm a wrestler at heart. And Brandon Kirk put out a tweet today saying, you know, I want to work or invite in a traditional wrestling match so we can blow everybody's minds. And that's the thing, is we can, you know, us deathmatch wrestlers anymore can do that. And we're just as good as everybody else. We just oftentimes don't get that chance because people want to see us, you know, use weapons and bleed, which we'll gladly do. But, you know, you put us in there with other guys that can wrestle and we'll wrestle. But I'm very proud of being a deathmatch wrestler and doing deathmatches. It's something that I take great pride in. So I always classify myself as that first.
That's good. Okay, so my best friend Brad is in the chat. He says, what is your favorite memory about working for FLW? And why is sharing...
Oh, God.
And he said, why is sharing a locker... He goes, and why is it sharing a locker room with Darren Corbin?
Darren Corbin is always a fun guy to be around. He's another Minnesota guy. He's always great. Fulton wrestled him one time, which is insane because I've wrestled Eric Cannon about 50 times. And it's a match that we both want to forget because of the circumstances regarding it. FLW was a time in my career where I was very naive and I was like, oh, this is a big deal, right? Nah, it was just a North Dakota company that had a bunch of money that was like, hey, let's buy a ring and run a company. And it was, the trips were long. Everything wasn't fun. So, I mean, the memories were of hanging out afterwards or the jokes we told in the locker room. It was, none of it was of the wrestling.
He's cracking up in the chat, by the way, just so you know.
Good.
Brad knows a little bit of everything, the New Yorker, but he knows everything about the West Coast. And it's great because if I don't know somebody, I just ask him because he's like encyclopedia. So it's great. So, okay, so let's move on to another fan tweet from our friend Chris. He says, what is your Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus, Crunchyroll quarantine watch list?
Oh, man. I have watched so much ridiculous stuff. I've been watching a lot of regular show on repeat over and over. Typically, it's Futurama, but I've been on regular show for a good while. I just kind of replay the series over and over. It's so good. It's so underrated. Always when Hard Knocks comes out for HBO, I watch that. Anime has been pretty good. Lots of Fire Force, hence the change in music. No longer using my old entrance music, using new entrance music. And, you know, just a lot of good, fun. I'll watch some stuff here. The Prince of Tennis was great, but I can't find the rest of it anywhere else, and I'm so bad at searching for that, so I'll hopefully find the rest of it at some point. But yeah, you know, kind of a little bit of everything, mostly animated stuff.
Oh, now you're gonna get like tweets like sending you where you can find it, by the way, properly.
I hope so.
So send them, guys. send them some tweets for that. Okay, so our next fan tweet is from MGB Mason. He said, I saw on Cage Match that you were the unsanctioned pro hardcore champion for under one day in February of 2019. What happened?
Man, you know, I won by beating Cody Rice by a roll-up. And the video of it, if you can find it anywhere, when I hit him with the light tube, it literally sounds like Stone Cold Steve Austin's glass breaking. It's insane because it was so cold. And then I lost because Casanova Valentine put my hands in like freezing cold snow. But I did get a great picture, butt naked, sitting on a toilet with the title. Oh my God. And then never got to work for Unsanctioned Pro. So maybe one of these days. Maybe one of these days.
That will do it.
Yep. I figured, why not? I was in a good mood that day.
I was in a good mood. I'm dead. Okay. All right. So this is my infamous question that I ask every wrestler that comes on here. What's the craziest thing a fan's done to get your attention?
Oh, God. I've had a few experiences. I guess not to like get my attention per se, but I've definitely had people like dumpster dive for my old like bloody doors.
Oh my God.
And like stuff like that at like local shows here, which is very off-putting. A lot of times they'll just come up and you know, act like they've known me forever, and I'm very introverted. So I don't typically, I'm like, oh, well, I don't know who you are. Sorry. Like stranger danger until somebody will like be like, oh, this is how you know me. I'm like, oh, okay. Duh. But I'm like, you won't typically see me out and about at shows because it's not my thing. I am very easy to access online, but like in person, it's like, you know, like a white rabbit. You can barely find me. If you find me, I would stop me and track me down because I will talk to you. But if you don't, I will just zoom through the crowd to do what I need to do and then zoom right back through.
All you guys be hiding. You know, sometimes I want to come say hi. No.
I am always like, you'll never see me out at the merch table. You never see me out and about. I am just like zooming through and zooming back.
Yeah, I noticed with some people, like, they don't like to come out and say hi, and then you see, like, the other ones, and then, you know, I like to throw my friends under the bus. So I like to do that, but. So out of everybody that you've wrestled, who's been your favorite to work in the ring?
I'm having a lot of fun with John right now. John's a blast, and every match we've had so far, we had a couple, you know, multi-man stuff before, and that's where we both knew like, hey, if we got in the ring together in singles competition, it's going to be something special, and I believe it has been. So John is definitely up there. Eric Cannon probably is like number two or three. Every match I've had with Cannon has been a blast. And like I said, we've had like 50 at this point. And then I would say probably the guy that I trained with who doesn't, you know, do a lot of wrestling anymore. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Give us one of your best road trip stories.
Oh, best road trip stories. So I got youngish, betting on myself thinking, you know, this is going to pay off. A buddy of mine, Clark Feldman and I, he's a referee, hasn't been a lot since the pandemic started, but, we go out, we go to, you know, the Evolve tryout with William Regal all day long, 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 long time. You know, we get there a couple days early where we're, you know, enjoying the scenery, enjoying everything. You know, Regal gets in, his flight's delayed. We're there forever and ever and ever. And I was so upset by the time we finally left after we did our tryout matches, which were like, you know, wee hours of the next morning after getting there at like 10 o'clock that, you know, the morning before, and we're just waiting around, and I'm like, man, I just want to go to like a Walmart, and, you know, get the necessities and go back to, you know, go back to our hotel and, you know, just hang out. And he GPS'd in this place called like Super H Mart in the area.
Okay.
And I was so unbelievably upset that we had to go here. And he still will bring it up to this day and will just irritate me to no end. I was just, I don't know what it was about it. I'm like, this isn't Walmart. Why are you bringing me to this place? And I was just so beyond furious. And he was at the point where he was just laughing and having a good time. He's like, well, I'm not going to direct you anywhere at this point. And we've had a lot of fun on the roads. My favorite road trip to take is IWA Mid-South, because that one's still a drive. Halfway in between, there's always like some new guy that has trained at the academy who's going to do his first IWA Mid-South show. And it's a rite of passage to stop in LaSalle, Illinois, and meet Mike Hartenbauer, who's a wrestler in that area, and stay up forever. And I don't stay up and party. I don't go out and party. I don't do any of this. But when you hang out with Mike, you stay up late and you party and you tell the most ridiculous stories and do all these things. So that's always my favorite trip to take, is the IWA Mid-South trips, because the young kids get to meet Mike and learn about what wrestling really is.
That's great. Oh, thank you, Conrad. He just said these interviews are always top quality. Thank you. I appreciate that. So sweet. Wait, there was another question in the chat for you. Okay. John said his next question is, if you were in WWE, who would you pick as your tag team partner?
I guess probably Arya Daivari, because I've been tag team partners with him before. Familiarity, you know.
Awesome. Okay, so apparently this fan tweet is said, they said that pun will totally not work on the podcast. So I don't know, you're like dry humor, Mason. But he said, with you being billed from Salem, which is the best tourist attraction to represent the trials in Salem? Like, what?
I saw that one and I was trying to get it. I couldn't get it. Also, no longer billed from Salem, Massachusetts. That has also changed.
See? Okay. So Ray's last question is, what is the end goal for Orin? And what would you like your legacy to be?
Kind of like I said earlier, you know, a lot like Tremont's, where always gave back, wasn't a piece of shit. And, you know, earlier on in my career, I was hot-headed. You know, I thought my shit didn't stink and really had a bad attitude about a lot of stuff here locally. But also a lot of stuff here locally doesn't change much, you know, unless it's First Wrestling, where they do everything right. And they do. They really, really do. Like, there isn't, you know, nothing's really changed for me. So that's why you don't see me wrestling in this area a lot. I want to be able to give back in a way that Tremont has. Like, I want to be able to open a school or join a school on as a trainer and teach the younger generation, you know, all the things that I've been fortunate enough to learn, that guys have gone out of their way to teach me, you know, whether it's spending hours after shows telling me all these things that they didn't need to take the time to tell me. They didn't need to give a shit and, you know, give me this information and take this time with me. I want to be able to do that for everybody else and, you know, have a reputation that makes it, you know, gives it validity. And it's like, oh, what you learned from him, that's amazing. That's, you know, that's incredible. Like, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to leave behind a really good legacy. Whether or not it's one of the greatest of all time is kind of beside the point. Like, if I have a good, successful career, that's awesome, you know, but I want to have one that's just legitimate enough that I can give back and people can be like, oh, I was trained by him, and have that mean something. Have that mean, whether it's, you know, oh, they're a great person, I know that they have good taste and talent, or, you know, oh, they're really good, you must have learned something good.
That's amazing. There really is. That's amazing. See, guys, don't be scared of deathmatch wrestlers. I'm just
like I took the time to sit down with Bam after he won, because I was cleaning him up, making sure he was all good and clear, and you know, I told him, you know, everything that he did right, everything that, you know, that the guys have told me, and really kind of reminded him, like, hey, you know, you're here now. You're one of us now, and you earned it. You deserve it. And, you know, now's your time to continue to show that you belong with us, and you really, truly do. And, you know, to see that land, and, you know, to be able to give some advice or something to him, you know, after his first big tournament, big finals, big, you know, all this stuff was cool. It felt good for me to see that I was able to help somebody that I really see, you know, a lot of potential in, you know, but still being a young guy myself, you know, young-ish. I've been doing this for a few years now, like death matches, but, you know, still being newish, you know, I'm that middle ground guy. You know, you have the guys like Alex Colon and G Raver and Eric and, you know, RSP that are way up here. And I'm, you know, right in the middle here somewhere. And then, you know, there's the other guys on the come up that, you know, my goal is to continue to bring them up, so that wheel just continues to go up and over.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Like, much appreciative to see the newer talent that comes in, and you know, even like you guys. It's great. It's a great cycle. Like I said, with the fact that, like, even like me finding you, and it's like I appreciate it, and like I want to learn a lot about you guys, and there's a lot of things I don't know, and I still want to learn. So I definitely appreciate it. Brad just said in the chat, how bad is the shower right after a death match?
It sucks. It sucks. And I always tell people before they get into a death match or before they have a death match, I'm like, here's all the things that are going to suck. And number one is that shower afterwards and that car ride or plane ride home.
Oh, man.
Like every time, that is when you're all cut up and you've had a good one, you know, one where you're real bloody. Yeah, that's a nightmare. Half the time your shirt's stuck to you, so you got to go to the shower with the shirt on, and hopefully, you know, you can pull it off and not have to like cut it off. Yeah, it's not the best time.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Again, credit where it's due. Okay, so my final question, and if you guys have anything else, just drop it into the chat. So to all aspiring and amateur wrestlers out there, what's a piece of advice that you would give them?
Always be humble, and learn it every way you can. Also, go to the gym all the time. Start now. I don't care how young you are. Start now. I waited until, you know, maybe a year ago to like actually get serious about going to the gym. It pays major dividends. It makes you look more professional. It, you know, does wonders for your career and for your body's longevity. But yeah, be humble, learn from everybody, because somebody's always got something to teach you. Whether it's your cup of tea or not, learn it. You know, I'm not necessarily a comedy guy, but I'll listen to anything, you know, somebody that specializes in that has to say. You know, you want to learn from all aspects, and you want to be as versatile as possible. You know, I might have a niche as a deathmatch wrestler, but I'm also versatile enough to do any type of wrestling, and I take pride in that. And you should too. Like, whether it's, you know, lucha, you know, Memphis style, high flying, learn a little bit of everything and learn what you can do to complement that style of the person across the ring from you.
I love that. I love that piece of advice. That's why I love asking everybody that, because I feel like everybody brings something different to the table. So I really love that advice. So what do you have coming up? What's coming up that everybody should watch you at?
The big one, the ICW No Holds Barred down in Florida, Port Richey. John Wayne Murdoch and I doing the 1 hour Iron Man Deathmatch.
Yes.
Never before done. Big deal. It's one that it's kind of sink or swim for John and I too, because, you know, we've had these two matches that have lived up to the hype, and now this one has. It's a totally different animal. You know, this isn't just go and have a good death match. This is go and have a good Iron Man match, which is hard to do. I think if you look at the, you know, history, a 1 hour Iron Man death match is really hard to do correctly and do well and have a good one that can keep people's attention, and let alone death match, you know.
Oh man.
You add that element to it and it's a completely different animal, like hasn't been seen before. So I'm excited. It's a challenge that I'm really, you know, looking forward to being a part of true history and, you know, in an aspect of this sport that I take great pride in. And I'm really looking forward to delivering in this match and having, you know, a trilogy of matches that people can look back on and be like, wow, this trilogy will stand the test of time. That's what we're going for.
Oof. April said, please don't die.
Fingers crossed.
And I yelled at Danny. I was like, of course you put this match and then you go out of state. I was like, now I can't come to Jersey and come watch this. I'm like, what are you doing to me? Like, I can't with you. Why you personally do this to me? I feel personally attacked right now. Oh man, so I'm excited for you for that. So, but I will definitely be supportive from home and I will definitely watch it. So is there anything else coming up that everybody should not just that right now?
ICW Milwaukee. We got monthly shows every month and they're all good. They're all bangers. Always watch them, check them out, because they release on Smart Mark Video, I think, you know, a couple weeks afterwards. I don't think they're too expensive. Pretty reasonably priced. Time Bomb, whenever we get the next Time Bomb show up, and the next Time Bomb show booked and running, make sure you keep your eyes on that. I know there's some Time Bomb catalog on IWTV right now. That's home. You know, that is, you know, that I love it there, and they do right. Check out All First Wrestling stuff. I might not work there too often, but it's Minnesota and they're doing it right. They just had their first show in this pandemic. And they did it, I think, better than anybody else has.
That's amazing.
To be honest, the social distance, the guidelines, the protocols, fantastic, incredible stuff. Yeah. And just keep your eyes peeled for all the ICW No Holds Barred things. 'Cause I'll be there. I'll be around.
Yes. Yes, and eventually, like, I'll come find you. I won't be at this coming one, but when it comes back to Jersey, definitely, then hopefully I can come find you. Or I'll send Danny after you, because it's a come say hi. If I don't find you, then I'll just tell Danny, like, can you go get him for me so I can say hi? But tell everybody, like, where they could find you. I have all your links listed below, but just for, like, listeners, like, right now.
Real easy at or invite on everything. Also at DNDDT podcast, where I play D&D with my friends. We're coming up on almost episode 100. We've been doing that for a few years now. It's something I really love and have a lot of fun with. That's about it.
And you have merch, right? Like I found a link of your merch.
I do. Yep.
So the link's below, guys.
I couldn't. Yeah, I'm glad you have the link, because I couldn't remember it if you asked me.
Okay, the link for the merch is in the description, guys. So go buy some merch and go support, and definitely go watch the IWTV app. And actually, I also have Power Slam app for you guys as well. So you can use the code NOHOLDSFREE for 1 month free trial, which is great because you can type in wrestlers' names and find a bunch of matches that are on there as well too. So
there you go.
I love it, guys. So. But I guess that's going to wrap our interview up, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. Orin, you're amazing. I appreciate you. Like, I'm so glad
that.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that, like, I found you, and I'm so glad that I get to watch you in ICW and even seeing stuff in GCW as well. So, and I can't wait to see your future, and best of luck for your Iron Man match. So,
thank you.
But guys, thank you so much again. Make sure you like, share, subscribe for all other interviews, and also the All Elite podcast will be back on Thursday night. So we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good night. There's something you owe me. Get it back to me. Enough is enough. They just wanna hurt us. Bring us down. Bring us down. Enough is enough. We won't let them hurt us. Bring us down. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name.
You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com.